Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This keeps a sin flood of statism out of your brain. Can you feel it? Can you feel it? Is it working, Ben and Randy? Can you feel it?
I feel it.
Yeah?
I can feel it. And I am so happy to be here. This is the first time I've ever been on the Freedom Fiends in the daytime.
I know. You had to shuffle things around, but you don't do a lot of lawyering on the weekends, do you? Or do you? I don't know.
As little as possible.
Yeah. Randy England is a former prosecutor, and then he saw the light and went just into private practice lawyering, defending people from prosecutors. And the other end of the inner tubes, we got Mr. Ben Stone, the bad Quaker.
Hey, gentlemen.
Who is are you a Quaker rabbi? What do you guys call yourselves?
I'm just a Quaker, and all Quakers are Quakers. I also happen to be an ordained minister, but in the Quaker faith, pretty much anybody who's a Quaker is the same as anybody else who's a Quaker.
Yeah, so I am Ben Stone, the bad Quaker. I'm going to make t-shirts that say that, and everyone can wear them.
Do we call you Reverend, though, or is that what we don't do?
No, we don't take on any titles of any kind.
Yeah, because titles are square, man. Titles are for square, unless they are radio wrestling names. And I am the Iron Hamster. Randy England is the Wampus Cat. And Mr. Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker, is the
hairy bearded possum.
Bearded possum. Yeah, bearded possum. All right, cool. So where are you guys today? I'm in Wyoming, by the way. And, you know, people say, why do you live in Wyoming? The weather's horrible there in the winter. And I'm like, the weather here, I mean, we get a lot of high winds and we get some cold at night, but we never get, in the part of Wyoming I live in, we never get snow that is incapacitating. I grew up near Buffalo, New York, and they are, like, people are dying shoveling snow there right now. It is about to break a record for snowfall there set in 1921, which is the year my dad was born, and he's still alive and he still lives there, and we're hoping he doesn't try to shovel any snow. We've told him not to. He's a feisty old coot, and he will try to do things like that. But we're, sending people over to shovel for him. Yeah. So where are you guys at? Where are you at, Randy?
Well, here in mid-Missouri, in the foothills of the Ozark Mountains on the Missouri River.
And Ben moves around a lot. Ben is an indeterminate quantity as to where he's going to be, and he just landed somewhere today. Where are you today, Ben?
I did. I'm real close to where your other host, MK Lords, is located, near Pensacola, Florida. I'm not actually in Florida, but I'm near there.
You're in Louisiana?
And we do bounce. Or Alabama. We're in Alabama right now. We bounce around a lot. We move from campground to campground. We spent quite a bit of time in Missouri, even got to go and have lunch with Randy, and that was really cool. Had a lot of fun.
Yeah, and I do want to say that Barack Obama is a liar. He's a socialist, and his feet stink. Since we're not going to be talking much about politics, I like to get that out of the way. Would you gentlemen concur?
I'm glad that you reminded me.
Yeah, I don't think about that guy very much. I don't think about individual politicians much. But that phrase, I repeat it a lot. It's actually, we interviewed my 93-year-old dad on this radio show last year. And he's a small government conservative type. You know, we're a little smaller government than that here. He wants to drown government in a bathtub. We want a government. So he wants a government so small you can drown in the bathtub. On the Freedom Fiends, we want a government so small that it is theorized about by particle physicists. But we interviewed him on here and we said, what do you think of Obama? And he said, and see, like, he is so like polite that he won't even say, he would never cuss, but he won't say anything even like, you know, that guy's a tyrant. And the meanest thing he could say, and it was kind of funny, was Barack Obama is a socialist. He's a liar and his feet stink. And we actually, Nima Vedati and I took a loop of that and made a hip hop song out of it that you can search on YouTube. It's called Obama's Feet Stink. So search that. I think it's actually, the full title is Obama's Feet Stink and Romney Likes the Smell, because we don't like any of those tyrants. But I can't play it on the radio. It's not radio friendly. But yeah, check that out. So Ben Stone, the bad Quaker, and his wife are driving around the country in a van solving mysteries like Scooby-Doo. And he don't have snow. You don't ever have snow anymore, do you?
No, we have gotten away from that. I have done everything in my life to make sure that I never have to mow grass or shovel snow again. And, and you know, I don't control the future, and so I can't say with absolute certainty, but that is certainly one of my goals, is to never have to shovel snow and never mow grass again, because I think both are just very horrible things to waste your time doing.
You could live in Arizona and have a zero-scaped yard.
Yeah, we've talked quite a bit about Arizona. I've spent a lot of time in Arizona and New Mexico as well.
Really hot, though, man. It's It's like, you know, melt your sneakers hot there sometimes. So the topic today is... So we've been talking a lot on the Freedom Fiends. I've been talking a lot on the Freedom Fiends, and people have been talking with me about it over the past few weeks about libertarian rock stars who come up short, people who are the face of the liberty movement to the world. It seems like the loudest, worst people often rise to the top. You know, they're and I'm not jealous. I'm happy with my place in liberty, and there are liberty rock stars I like, and there are liberty nobodies who have the same problems with. But it seems like there's five or six people at the top of the visibility chain to the world too, not just to liberty people, but outside our community. There are a lot of people who, if you get to know anything about them, they are just doing some really, really questionable things, and things that people give them a pass on, and things that people even celebrate them on. Like, imagining you can use magic words in court or not pay your taxes because of some interpretation. Now, here's the thing. I think taxes are immoral, and I think that the justice system is anything but. You know, I'm not pro-state. I'm not pro-tyranny. But all three of us on here right now feel the same way, but we don't have any imaginary ideas that there are magic words you can say and get away with it. I don't even get away with its word, but so we were going to do a show to kind of cap this up today and be done with it and move on with it and not name any names. And just in particular, you know, because I've named them all before, I'm not being a coward by not naming them, but our radio audience who doesn't know who all these people are and hear the inside baseball and be like, I don't know who that is, are getting sick of it. So we're going to do a bigger picture show of how this kind of stuff happens everywhere, you know, down to like, up to like, you know, the televangelist who is bilking grandma out of her social security check and she's eating dog food and thinking this guy is her path to salvation. And then, you know, he's caught in a bathroom, you know, with a young boy doing crystal meth and other things. I mean, that happens all the time. And it's not just in the liberty movement. It's everywhere. So basically we're jousting monsters today and debunking the dinosaurs sinking in the tar pits and giving them a little push underneath. And, you know, these people are redeemable. I'm not saying the people need to have anything done to them or they need to, you know, that I'd be happy if they died. I wouldn't be. I want them to either go do something outside of liberty so it doesn't tarnish our pool, or redeem themselves and fix what's wrong with them. But most of them are like, I'm right. You can't tell me what to do. And I wasn't going to name any names. And what I said was, you know, like a week ago, I said, I'm going to do this show coming up soon with Randy. And then Ben was able to do it today too. So, but I said, I wasn't going to name names ever again until anybody in the liberty movement did something extraordinarily stupid. Ding, 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 ding. Chris Cantwell, who I've had a lot of issues with, but I've gotten over it too. I mean, like I hear him on the radio on Free Talk Live on Wednesdays. He's kind of funny. He's a good writer. He does some interesting blog posts, but he also is kind of like a drunken man child who needs attention to the point where it shoots himself in the foot, figuratively and almost literally. And here's why. The Colbert Report, you know, Stephen Colbert's nighttime cable fake news show that's funny as heck and is watched by, you know, every neckbeard stoner liberal college student in the country, and me. I like it too, and I'm not one of those, but it is a widely seen show, like millions and millions and millions of people see it. They came to Keene, I keep almost saying Corbett Report. That's another show. That's a liberty show. That's a podcast. But the Colbert Report came to Keene, New Hampshire, and interviewed some of the Robin Hooders. Now, the Robin Hooders, I like the idea of this. They are people who go around putting nickels in parking meters so people don't get a ticket. And they ended up actually getting sued by the city because the city said they were a civil conspiracy keeping the city from making money. And the funny thing is, like, the city barely makes a profit on what they spend on parking enforcement. It's kind of like, well, cities have this. We need it. Without it, there'd be chaos. So, you know, they were doing activism, pointing out how the state everywhere, the government's everywhere, you know, basically highway robbery for money. And most people are like, well, it's only a nickel or a quarter. It's not highway robbery. And there's no gun. There is a gun, because if you don't put the nickel in, they'll tow your car and, you know, you can't get it back. I mean, there's really, you could die trying to get it back without paying for it. And so they did this activism, which I think is kind of cool. But Colbert Report, whenever they point a camera at you, it's not going to end well for you. They do these little vignettes, and a lot of people say there's no such thing as bad press. And of course, Cantwell wrote a blog post today or the other day called "There's No Such Thing as Bad Press," where he talked about, yeah, they made us look foolish and they made us look like idiots and they made us look nutty and off the handle and whatever. But hey, people know about Free Keen now. However, in this video, Chris Cantwell is playing with his revolver, talking to the cameraman, and he muzzle sweeps himself and the cameraman. What do you guys think of that?
As far as there's no such thing as bad publicity, I would say, you know, maybe you could talk to Fatty Arbuckle about that. And that's a really old example, but it's maybe the best example, because
Fatty Arbuckle's bad press was manufactured by Hearst.
Because
they didn't want him starting his own movie studio. Whereas Cantwell manufactured his own press, and, you know, nobody in Liberty seemed to have noticed this. And I'm chirping about it, and people are like, shut up, man, you're making us look bad. But
it's not you that's made it. Was Cantwell.
Yeah.
You didn't sweep anybody.
Yeah.
But, you know, I brought Fatty Arbuckle up specifically because, you know, it's not just Fatty Arbuckle. There's been numerous people that they've done that to.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
But Cantwell did it to himself. He figuratively shot himself in the foot and almost, you know, muzzle swept his own hand and a cameraman who came to film him. We'll be back.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Having outgrown childish libertarian fantasies, I now believe in worms! What is Libertarians Against Humanity? It's the only unofficial Cards Against Humanity expansion pack by libertarians, for libertarians, and against libertarians. Libertarians Against Humanity is free to play online, or join the Indiegogo campaign to get physical copies and other perks to play with friends or status you haven't defued yet. Because if we don't laugh, the status win.
Not recommended for faint heart, thin skins, or those who easily rustle jimmies. Consult a physician if you experience common blood pressure or laughter lasts longer than 4 hours.
That's libertariansagainsthumanity.com.
So we're talking about Chris Cantwell. So what did you say, Ben?
I said, hey, come to Keene, New Hampshire, and we'll show you why we don't want the government pointing a gun at our face. And we'll show you by pointing a gun at your face.
Yeah, well, actually, he was pointing it at the cameraman's probably abdomen and at his own hand and knee and groin. So without the government, I think that's going to be the title of this episode. Without the government, who would point guns at your head? At you? Chris Cantwell. Now, you know, I have gotten people going, why are you making a point out of this? First of all, I want to say this guy is not most of the liberty movement. Most of the liberty movement who have guns practice gun safety. Real gun people practice gun safety. And I will say, yes, I will use the no true Scotsman on Cantwell and say he's not a real gun person. He's a guy who bought a gun and carries it around and makes semi-menacing statements while carrying it and backing himself up with it. So he is not us. He is not even the Free State Project movement. He is not even all of Free Keene. He's one guy in Free Keene. As far as I know, other people in Free Keene probably practice gun safety. And, you know, Free State Project, I hope people practice gun safety. Here's the funny thing. Chris Cantwell has made fun of me because I made a movie called Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. He said, the Freedom Fiends, oh, that guy, he's boring. And he made that stupid movie, Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. The movie Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom opens with an explanation of the four rules of gun safety. If he'd watched that and paid attention to it, he wouldn't have made a fool of himself on national television, on something that's going to be around the internet forever, being the face of liberty, muzzle sweeping the cameraman who's filming him and himself. The thing about gun safety is, if you are a gun person and you know gun safety, this stuff jumps out at you like underlined, you know, typos in a word processing program. You can't not see them even the first time through if you're barely looking. It's so obvious. And I'm kind of dismayed that it wasn't obvious to a lot of other liberty people. They overlooked it or didn't notice it, and they were just like, hey, there's no such thing as bad press. And overall, I'd say, you know, it's not my kind of activism, but there is no such thing as bad press. And with something like, you know, Colbert calling you whiny a-holes, which he did on the show. He used worse language than that. It was beeped out. But I don't think that's really bad press, but I think it's bad press to be the face of a movement or a geographical location movement and be showing off your gun and basically point the gun at the person you're talking to. It is inexcusable. The guy should be shamed and shunned. And here's the thing. We say in Liberty, you know, like, I don't think the government should require that people have concealed carry permits. And in some states, to open carry like he's doing, you need a concealed carry permit. And in some states, to have a concealed carry permit, you have to take a gun safety class. I don't think the government should make people do that. But the only answer libertarians have when you say, well, without the government, how would you keep people from being unsafe with guns? And the answer is always by shame. And when somebody steps out in front of the movement, makes himself the poster boy for it, and does something as shameful as muzzle sweeping the cameraman and himself, I'm going to call him out on it. It's not the first. I think he does this all the time, because there's a video of him shooting an American flag, which I think is, you know, I'm not a flag guy, but I think that's not helping liberty at all. But the bigger thing I noticed in that video was he muzzle swept his own thigh while yelling and waving a gun around. So what say you, gentlemen?
Well, go ahead, Randy. Well, I'm just thinking that pointing the gun at himself and that is part of the shtick for, you know, getting attention, that there's no such thing as bad press. I mean, you know, I think, you know, maybe I'm a little jealous. I'm not a libertarian rock star. I was thinking of trying. I thought, what if I'd go down to the courthouse and stand out there, have somebody video me? Maybe I'd rack a shotgun for an hour or two. But
Write for Lou Rockwell, but then again, so does Chris Cantwell.
the sheriff's always right across the street. The sheriff would drive up and go, what are you doing, Randy? Right. I'm standing here racking the shotgun, and nobody cares. So yeah. It wouldn't get me anywhere. So I remain a non-libertarian rock star.
Well, a libertarian non-rock star. And I'm glad they did not use the word.
Oh, that's right.
They did not use the word libertarian in this piece, and I'm really happy with that. Yeah. What do you think, Ben?
You know, there's a little bit of a difference, though, because I spent a little time there in Missouri, and some of my wife's family lives in Missouri, so we've been in Missouri quite a bit, and it's just a little something about Missouri culture. If you're standing around with a shotgun, the first thing people are going to do is start looking in the air to see, are there geese around? Is there a duck here? Or,
yes.
You know,
yeah.
It's not an immediate thing like, oh, no, he has a gun. Yeah. Someone call 911. And I shouldn't say that about all Missouri, because, you know, there's this wart called St. Louis that's completely different.
That's right.
And I'll say this. If the Colbert Report wanted to interview me about anything, I would politely decline. And I would have done that before this video came out.
Amen.
Worms. Worms.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Now that the elections are over and liberty has slipped even further away, it's time to try yet another political organization. Campaign for a Longer Leash is a nonpartisan group of pups and dogs dedicated to fighting for longer leashes for all. We're not talking about no leashes, that would be catarchy. We just want the limited leash that the Hounding Fathers promised us. As Bone Barklin once said, a longer leash, if you can keep it, ma'am. For more info, go to facebook.com/campaignforalongerleash.
Freedom Fiends. Yeah, so So the day this thing came out, well, it actually came out a few days before that, this Colbert Report thing about the Robin Hooders in Keene. It came out a few days before that. Then it went up on the internet. Then it kind of went viral. And as soon as it came out, I noticed this gun unsafety thing and sent it off to some gun bloggers. David Kadria, War on Guns, blogged it. He's a heavy hitter, man. And he is, you know, he's a small government guy somewhere between the government should drown in the bathtub and it should be theorized about by particle physicists. He still believes in the Constitution as something that can save us, but he is a right on righteous dude. He is the investigative reporter who, along with Mike Vandebau, broke the story of the Gunwalker scandal. You know, the thing about the ATF probably giving guns to cartels in Mexico for some reason, who knows why. So, Randy, what say you about me going out of my way to point out that Chris Cantwell needs a gun safety class for himself and for the face of liberty?
I think that he will be calling you. He'll be calling you. He'll be wanting to come on the show.
He always wants to come on the show. But
well, no, to come on the show to thank you.
I would sooner debate a clown, but if he wants to send me a thank you.
To thank you and thank you for saving his life. You know, because I'm sure he didn't realize he was pointing the gun at himself, and for saving, you know, the life of any future specials that he does with the Colbert Report, and saving perhaps a cameraman or something on their side. And I would thank you if you pointed out to me that I was waving the gun around and pointing it at other people. And when I'm in that situation live, man, I kind of get freaked out. You know, because most of the time you think if somebody was going to point a gun at you and you were armed, you would maybe pull it out and use it. But when it's a friend or something, it's really bad because you can't do anything except wince and go stop that.
You know what a liberal might say? If anybody muzzle sweeps you, pull out a gun and scream, "I'm in fear of my life," and shoot them. But
if that would work if you had a badge.
I'm not recommending that. Yeah. But it is an act of aggression to inadvertently sweep someone, muzzle sweep someone with a gun. It really is.
It's just not intentional. Mm-hmm. Probably.
Well, it is intentional because you didn't get the training that you needed to get.
Well, it's highly negligent. Yes.
Yeah.
And it's likely that a cop would shoot you immediately if you did something like that.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yep. Well, a cop would likely shoot you immediately if you pulled out your gun and were playing with it.
He might shoot you if you pulled out a candy bar.
They do it often. Yeah, so Chris Cantwell, don't act like a cop. And cops are notorious for having really bad gun safety. Even when they're not shooting people or shooting dogs, they do muzzle sweep people. There is the classic one of the DEA cop in the schoolroom, room full of kids, saying, "I'm the only one in this room professional enough that I know of to handle this Glock 40. And he pulls out his Glock 40 and literally shoots himself in the foot. And that thing went viral. And that's also in the Guns and Weed movie. And I'm sure Chris Cantwell seen that and thought it was funny. Everybody thought it was funny. But, you know, Chris Cantwell comes close to doing the same thing several times. I wouldn't say every time he handles a gun, but the two times I've really taken time to watch a video with him in it, that one and the shooting the American flag video he made on July 4th, which I don't think wins any hearts and minds, man. But the thing that really stood out to me was he muzzle sweeps himself during that thing. Yeah, man.
Well, now one thing to say to his benefit, perhaps he knows that he has a tendency to muzzle sweep himself and others and can't break himself of the habit. And that's why he uses a revolver. Because it's a little safer with a revolver.
I think he uses it because it's all he can afford. I know he only has one gun. And, you know, if you're only going to have one gun, I mean, I would have a rifle if I'm only going to have one gun. But, yeah.
So, well, no, it's harder. You can discharge an automatic, semi-automatic pistol, you know, easier.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
there's a lot of revolvers.
The trigger pull on a revolver when it's not cocked is like, you know, about four or five times the trigger pull on a Glock. So
yeah, you know, it's hard for it to just go off.
Yeah. So here are the four rules of gun safety. I'm going to go over them. One, treat every firearm as if it is loaded. Two, never point a firearm at anything you are not willing to destroy. Maybe Cantwell knows these rules and he's willing to destroy himself and a cameraman for the Colbert Report. Three, Always be sure of your target and what is beyond it and what's behind it. 4, keep your finger off the trigger until you are on target and ready to fire. So, yeah, those are 4 rules of gun safety. Let me read them again. Treat every firearm as if it's loaded. Never point a firearm at anything you're not willing to destroy. Always be sure of your target, what's beyond it, and what's behind it, and what's beyond it. Keep your finger off the trigger until you're on target and ready to fire. Do you guys practice these religiously?
Absolutely.
Yep.
I also train with the rule, fire twice, pause, and reevaluate.
Yeah. Which is not a rule of gun safety so much as rule of self-defense. But, yeah. You know, the thing about, like, why I never muzzle sweep is somebody told me this early on in my gun ownership was pretend that the muzzle of a gun is a laser that destroys everything whenever it's pointed at it. So basically, you want it pointing at the ground at all times unless you're pointing it at a target you're firing at. So when you muzzle sweep it, like literally picture a line coming out of it and destroying everything in its path. That's how you really internalize number 2. Never point a firearm at anything you're not willing to destroy.
That's a good way to do it.
Yep. Yep. Just pretend it's a ray gun, man. So, you know, Chris Cantwell responded to this whole thing and said, there's a lot of cussing in this. I'll make it radio friendly. He said, but F and S, there's a reason my videos made up so much of that Colbert segment. It's because they were the most interesting. Colbert saved this for one of the final episodes of the show because it was effing epic and wouldn't have been nearly as epic without me in it. That's what Chris Cantwell said.
The glow of Cantwell's ego outshines every other light around him.
I yes. would have expected no less.
It's weird. It's like the people in Liberty that are the most flawed are the most willing to jump in front of a camera, literally and figuratively. And that's a problem in everything. And we're going to talk about that in the second hour for sure. So I'm willing to move on for this. We've spent a third of the show on Chris Cantwell's gun unsafety. And
I would point out that in the video, the gun was loaded.
Yeah. Yep. You can see that in a revolver when you're muzzle swept by a revolver. You can see if there are bullets in it. And that's how you knew, right?
Let me throw a totally side note at you.
Yeah. Go ahead,
Ben. I had a thought, and if I don't say it, I'll probably forget it. You know, Jim Jesus has these cards in this card game that he's trying to develop.
Yeah.
And I just
he has developed Libertarians Against Humanity. He's printed sample decks. He's raised $1,000 to print the first edition. You can go to libertariansagainsthumanity.com and donate and get cards when they come out. He's passed he used that kind of funding where it's all or none. You know, if you don't reach your goal, people get their money back and you don't get any money, which I always advise against, but he really did it as a psychological thing of like, I absolutely need $1,000 to print and ship this first batch. So he did it and he just passed it and he's got like a month left on the fundraiser. So if he raises $2,000, he's going to do the first and second editions, but go to libertariansagainsthumanity.com and check it out. It's the card game by libertarians for libertarians against libertarians. I know where you're going with this. You're going to suggest for deck number 4 that there's a card about Chris Cantwell muzzle sweeping everybody around him or something.
No, actually, I had a whole different idea of we could have sort of Liberty baseball cards where you have all these different people and you have the good and the bad. I mean, like, I make mistakes. I've done dumb things. And you could say on there, like, you know, Ben Stone, bad, a.k.a. Bad Quaker, appears on Bad Quaker Podcast, Freedom Fiends Radio, and then something stupid that I've done, you know, because if you have a baseball player, you show his stats. His stats are on there, no matter how ugly they are.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that if we kick this around, somebody would come up with something that I've publicly done stupid.
Yeah.
And then put that on there.
And then one of them would violate the basic tenets of libertarianism and get butt hurt and sue for something that's not really slander. Yeah.
Rather than sticking with the actual libertarian standards, which are that you don't own your reputation and therefore shut up and stop whining.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Randy, would that be if someone sued, would that be for slander or libel if it's printed on cards?
Well, if it was printed, it would be libel.
Yeah, there's a weird like differentiation, though, with things on the internet, because even things you say on the internet are considered libel, not slander, because they are published. Isn't that the thing? You just get drunks out of jail, don't you? You do know a lot about the law in particular places you practice.
I was a prosecutor 14 years. I left that. I went into private practice doing the only thing I could do without cracking a book. So what can I say?
Defending people from
criminal defense. Criminal
defense. Advanced misdemeanors and minor felonies.
Yes, and that's not completely an exaggeration.
Is there anything else that anybody's got to say about the whole Cantwell muzzle sweep situation before we move on to saving liberty in general?
Just say no to bad gun handling.
Yeah, man.
Let's not see that again.
Yeah, I wouldn't hang out with anybody who I know has bad gun safety.
I've got one more thing real quick that I'd like to add. And this is just my opinion, and it's worth whatever my opinion is worth and nothing more. But I have been approached by, the Hollywood types that wanted I'm on the road. I have an unusual name life.
Names. Name the name of the show that wanted to interview you.
Oh, wow. I'd have to pull up the
but
email.
But it's one of those. It's one of those like what was the topic?
The guy has done major shows. He's been on Discovery. He's done stuff for History Channel. He's done some pretty popular stuff.
A lot of stuff with like the preppers and the off the grid people and the apocalypse, yeah. You know, waiting for the apocalypse kind of people and the gun culture people. And he's not any of those things. I think he also did one of those crabbing shows. He does a lot of stuff of like, you know, here are hicks doing manual labor and having guns. Isn't this a freak show? That's basically what he does on major TV networks.
Yeah. And I don't cooperate with any of those things. Yeah, I don't let them make me into the guy in the wife beater t-shirt in front of the trailer, you know, telling about how bad the tornado was. Yeah. I am not going to let them make me into that guy. And I believe that's what they made. That's what they made all of Keene look like by putting a camera in front of Cantwell.
Yeah, it's kind of what they made all Liberty look like. But I'm really more concerned about the unsafe gun handling. And David Kadria said that last February, a producer asked him if he'd come on The Daily Show, but David Kadria made it clear that he would not be the butt of snark, so that killed it. They didn't want to interview him. He said, you know, some venues are no-goes because there's no practical way to use them, you know, to your advantage, and the reality is always shown as the opposite. So there's the voice of reason, man. Yep.
This is the difference between wisdom and smart. It might be smart for Chris Cantwell to do something stupid on national TV,
yeah, because
but it's not wise.
It'll raise his hits on his website, which is, you know, how he makes his beer money. All right. And we're the brunt of it. He makes us look like nutty gun people who point guns at people.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
So Ben Stone, the bad Quaker, we're trying to get off of this Cantwell thing, man. It disgusts me. But Ben Stone told an interesting story during the break about leprechauns. So go ahead, Ben.
Yeah, this is a really horrible story. But a few years back, there was this news story that came out of someplace, and I can't remember where it is. I'll have to look it up, and maybe we can put a link to it in the show notes. But it was all over the internet briefly. This news crew had gone to this location, and there was this a particular day of the year, and for a very brief moment, right around sunset, the sun bounced a beam off of a building or something off of a window and shined a light into a tree. And at a distance, it looked like a tiny little man was sitting up in the top of this tree. And so somehow the news media had gotten into this story, and they sent a crew down there to see if they could find out what the story was about the leprechaun in the tree. And now the story takes a really weird twist, because I believe the news people set this up, but they found probably the stupidest guy in the neighborhood, who was this guy with his teeth going every which direction and his hat on sideways and his pants drooping
it's
around
Cantwell.
His knees.
It's the Cantwell of that trailer park.
It was the Cantwell of that area. And
at least he had teeth.
And he couldn't pronounce a single syllable that was really what you might consider English. But they shine the camera in his face, and all he could say was, "I want to go. Show me the goad. I want the goad." And he couldn't speak about the leprechaun or anything. All he would do is shout, "Show me the goad. I want the goad."
And you're saying, and that's what they did with Cantwell.
That's what they did with Cantwell. Yeah. He was the redneck with the wife beater T-shirt standing in front of the trailer. Talking about the tornado.
Pointing his gun at the cameraman and himself. And he was sweeping downtown Keene, man. And he's in that little park down there that's like, 100 feet away from businesses in every direction and people and kids walking through the park and, everybody and cars. When you hold a gun at any kind of angle like that, near horizontal, you're sweeping the town. And, if you're holding it at a 45-degree angle down, you're sweeping concrete in the park, place people chalk on, that activists chalk on. You're sweeping that, and that would ricochet into any passing car. So, yeah, triple fail, man. Yeah. There are some really eloquent—I mean, they interviewed Ian Freeman but didn't use his interview. And he's too eloquent and makes it sound too good, man. Yeah. So they didn't use it. There was a quote of Cantwell they didn't use that I really thought they were going to use. There's actually a Free Keene video of them filming all this. And Cantwell at one point, you can tell it's him. He's off camera, but he's telling the camera crew, it's proof of the violence inherent in the system. And he's actually paraphrasing Monty Python, that scene with Dennis the peasant being beaten by King Arthur. And he says, "Come see the violence inherent in the system." So I thought they were going to show the Cantwell quote and then show the Monty Python quote, but nope, they didn't have to.
One of the dirtiest things they did in that piece was with the one fellow, I can't remember his name, this with short blonde hair.
Yeah,
They asked him some question and he blanked out a little bit and
they showed him blanking out. Yeah,
yeah, I mean, they probably interviewed him for an hour. Yeah,
that's how they do it, man.
One moment
when he had a brain
catch his
fart.
Thought. I mean, that happens to everybody. And they picked the one moment. I looked at that and I said, "I've done that." Why, Michael, I think we had a show where I did that one time. And, it goes out over the air. Everybody, whatever my brain fart was, everybody heard that one. But when it was over, you said, "Well, don't feel too bad, Randy. I'll cut that out."
Yeah, but I can't cut it out when it's live. So, yeah.
No, but I thought it was just dirty.
They do that. The Colbert Report is dirty. I mean, and I generally, of those two fake lefty news shows, I like Jon Stewart better, The Daily Show. He's a little less a creep. And I mean, even so, David Kadria wouldn't go on The Daily Show. He was asked to, but he wouldn't because he knew they'd do something like that. They would have done it with a little more class, but they're not going to do something that shows gun ownership in a good light. And David Kadria is like one of the shining pinnacles of gun ownership in a good light. I mean, that guy, he writes for the Gun Rights Examiner. He writes the War on Guns blog. He writes for Guns Magazine. He writes for the Jews for the Preservation of Firearm Ownership. He is a heavy hitter. Like, he did expose the ATF in their Gunwalker scandal. He and Mike Vannebaugh found that story and exposed it, and it was picked up by Time and Newsweek and Fox and MSNBC and all sorts of stuff. So, I mean, that guy does more before breakfast than Cantwell will do in his life, even before Cantwell did the, I consider, inexcusable sin of muzzle sweeping the cameraman and himself on national TV while jumping in front of the spotlight like a deer in front of the headlights of a car to try to be the face of liberty. No, basically to get more hits on his website so he can get more beer money,
I keep saying they're mainstream media, and the mainstream media is not our friends.
Yeah, man, that's why we have our own media. We'll be back with hour two of the Freedom Fiends, which will be Cantwell free. We're not going to mention his name. It's a dirty word now, and if anybody says it, I'm going to beep him from now on for all fiends going forth.
Do you believe in free speech? Jay Raven had her True Shives YouTube channel taken down. We believe this censorship was wrong, and we believe the channel is a clear example of free speech. Many people are bullied on the internet, but Jay Raven actually stood up to the bullying. She has filed a self-defense lawsuit against the individuals who took down the channel. The outcome of this suit could be very important to the future of free speech. Learn more at trueshibes.com. That's Tango, Romeo, Uniform, Sierra, Hotel, India, Bravo, Echo, Sierra.com. Trueshibes.com.
This is the Freedom Fiends.
News, broadcasting through the Libertarian Reindoctrination Center's low orbit ion cannon. High atop. That's the Wampus Cat. High atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. I am Michael Dean, the Iron Hamster. I am joined by Randy England, the Wampus Cat, and Ben Stone, the Furry Possum. Now, what are you, man?
Let's see, the bearded possum. And fortunately, I keep my feathers numbered for just such an occasion.
Yeah. All right. So hour two, we're not going to mention names. We're just going to talk about the bigger picture of liberty in general and the bigger picture of life in general. And this goes outside of the liberty movement into everyone's life. And the basic thing is people shouldn't need a great man. And the funny thing is libertarians generally reject the idea of leadership. But for some reason, and I think it's just training in human nature and decades of living life as not a libertarian and being great men foisted on you and having them wiggled in front of your face like a severed head, as Steve Albini said about music industry and how it treats musicians. And the thing is, you don't need, it's okay to admire people, and it's a good thing. And it's okay to look at the path and the motives and the actions and the skills of those who have gone before you on a path that you want to go down. But making someone your God, especially with libertarians, a lot of them are, you know, we don't like kings, and some of them are agnostic or atheist. You two are theist. I'm kind of deist. But, you know, making a God of a man, making a great man of a man, worshiping someone, being, you know, making a star of someone is counterintuitive to the ideas of liberty. It's also counterintuitive to the ideas of life. And I think what happens is, like I said, it's the training of years of having, you know, all of the great men and the founders and the heroes and the rock stars wiggled in front of your face that, you know, you get into liberty, and when you should be looking for no kings, people are still looking for a king. It's kind of like that line in Fight Club. You know, we were told we were going to be millionaires and rock stars, and it didn't work out, did it? And I think a lot of people like expect that there should be leaders and liberty heroes that they can worship. Once they get away from the kings, they find new kings, and it is disappointing every time. And it is counterintuitive to liberty, and it's counterintuitive to life, because making a God out of somebody, it's kicking God off the throne. If you're theistic, you know, you're already committing a sin right there. And if you're not theistic, it's really just kind of following a hamster in your brain to obsess on something that is not good for you. And some people could say I'm obsessing on exposing these people and it's not good for me, but I think it is good for me, and I think it's good for liberty, and I think it's good for the larger audience in general. Because there's a lot of places in people's lives that they let people lead by example in really severe ways, and it's not helping people. I mean, the example I gave in the first hour was, you know, the grandmother on a pension who, you know, gives her check to the televangelist who's entirely flawed, and she ends up starving, but she thinks that's her way to heaven. So what say you, Ben Stone, the bad Quaker?
Well, you covered a lot of it right there. You know, it's a really good example is to bring up televangelists, because there's been a couple of them that were really, really big. And then the scandal about them breaks and they really fell all the way down. One of them I'm thinking of specifically that ended up in prison for years. His marriage broke up and, you know, he had a multi-million dollar ministry. And whatever message
you're talking about, Jim Baker and Tammy Faye Baker. Yeah.
Yeah. And they had a huge ministry and the whole thing fell apart and people lost their jobs and people lost everything that they had invested into it. And this clown goes off to prison and his wife goes off with some other man. And, you know, Christians have to, if they want to save face and they want to, you know, really show what they stand for, I don't think there's any shame in pointing at that and saying, see that, that's not right. That's not what Jesus did. That's not what Jesus said.
Oh, you know, crystal cathedrals and televangelists who wear $5,000 suits and ride around in, you know, limos and private jets, that is entirely counterintuitive to first century Christianity. It is absolutely kicking God off the throne. It is actually absolutely making a God of mammon. And it is absolutely not what the apostles did. I like first century Christianity, you know, one man speaking to another, walking across the land, you know, not necessarily a vow of poverty, but, you know, not trying to amass the shiny stuff. What say you, Counselor Randy?
And walking across the water.
I don't do that. And well, that's the thing. I think a lot of people make that kind of person walking on water out of people who, you know, jump in front of the camera and try to make themselves the leaders. The thing that I would say is people who generally become leaders in things are generally the most flawed. You know, they say that, that every election is what do they say that they're popularity contests for sociopaths, you know? Absolutely. Like most people who become politicians, even if they start out with pure ideals, become corrupt by the time they get to that point. And the same thing with movie stars and rock stars and captains of industry. You can't, it's easy to be a millionaire and keep your integrity. It's really hard to be, you can't be a billionaire without some blood on your hands. And I would say you can't really get to 100 million without doing something sleazy.
I don't think so. You know, I think there's a couple of reasons why you're right that you want to discourage the big, you know, the, I don't know if the word is rock star, but the great man or the leader. You know, first of all, if somebody gets up too big, high and mighty, and somehow we're able to do something about this tyrannical government we have, then the danger of just simply replacing one tyrant with another is there. Somebody is just way too preeminent. I mean, if there was someone who would lead everyone to that promised land, that would probably be the one person who should not be running anything when we're done. But there's also the problem of everybody has their own, you know, their own personal views about what they would like to do if they ever lived in a free society. And, you know, it's kind of your own personal thick libertarianism, you might say, that goes along with simply the non-aggression principle, leave other people alone. I think that the thin libertarians maybe are a little safer to admire. I know that the only people that I admire in the libertarian movement are thin libertarians because the
explain
ones who
the difference.
Well, the thin libertarian is the one who just says there is one thing in liberty in libertarianism or even anarchism, really, because a full libertarian is an anarchist, and that is that no one is allowed to aggress or initiate physical force or violence against another person. I mean, you can boil it down to that, and if everyone obeyed it, then I happen to think that things would be wonderful. And then there are those called thick libertarians that want to tack on other things to that base belief, and they're as variable as people are. And some people think that you would have to abolish property, and they're anarcho-communists, and people who think that property would, you'd have some property, but only if you were sitting and holding on to it right now, and all different kinds of ideas, which I don't have a problem with. I mean, I assume people will start communities that embody these individual thick libertarianisms, and as long as everything is voluntary, I'm fine with it, but I'm just completely zeroed in on the voluntariness that you cannot coerce other people. And I think we have to keep our eye on that squirrel so hard. If we don't, we will never, ever get there.
Do you think that a lot of the libertarian rock stars are thick libertarians in one way or another?
Some are, some are not.
Without naming names, name some you like. Name some libertarians you like that you think are thin libertarians.
Well, I think the people at Lou Rockwell are thin libertarians. I think that Tom Woods is a thin libertarian. And despite the fact that he wrote that, Jeffrey Tucker wrote that, what some people think
libertarian brutalism.
Yeah. Libertarian brutalism. Despite the fact that he wrote that, I do not think that he is a thick libertarian.
Yeah. Do you think Jesus was an anarchist?
Do you think Jesus was a Christian? It's the question is not what was Jesus. The question is, what should you be? So, you know, the question is impossible to answer. Maybe Ben has an answer to that question.
Ben,
I would go with, you know, Jesus was taken up, according to all the story and everything in the Bible, Jesus was taken up onto a mountain and he was shown all the kingdoms of the world and all the great empires. And Satan said to him, this is my realm. I have control over this. This is where I live, and I can make you a part of it. I can make you the head of all of this. And Jesus said, get behind me. And now that points out to me very clearly. Yeah, that points out very clearly to me that, first off, the realm of government is the realm of Satan. And the greatest temptation to Jesus was at that moment to take that realm, to go into that realm. And Jesus turned it down because that was the absolute opposite of his message.
Well, he didn't want to lead. He didn't want to lead,
Two other points there. You know, first of all, I don't. It was a moment, but I don't think Jesus was anywhere near taking the bait. But you'll notice that Jesus did not challenge Satan's claim to the governments of the world.
You can if that wasn't true, if it was a false offer that he had, then Jesus would not have been tempted by it because Jesus would have known that it's a false offer. So it was a legitimate offer. Satan actually had that power. That really was his realm.
I think he got it.
You think he still has it, Ben?
I think that is his realm. That's always been his realm.
Got it.
Yep. And I think he is
Satan. You can have all that. That's
his world. His world is the opposite of Christ or the Antichrist, and I believe that's what government is.
Yeah. Government's so square, man. It's square and it's evil, and anybody who thinks you can change it from within by joining it, that's like saying, you know, if you don't like the mafia, join it and change it from within. You're not going to change it. It is the nature of what it is, and it is the nature of governments to steal, kill, coerce, tax. What else they do? War.
Destroy.
Steal. Yeah, man. Steal. Yep. I think we said steal, but we could say it twice because that's the main thing they do. They steal from everybody. They don't kill everybody. They steal.
Now, technically,
from
though, they don't steal. They rob.
Ah, thank you, counselor.
They do it out in public.
Yeah. Robbing is sneaking in a window in the middle of the night.
No. Robbing is when you do it under violence or threat of violence.
Like a gun. A gun you can see pointed at you, yeah. Robbing.
Or threatened at you, yes. Yeah.
Thank you, counselor.
You're welcome.
We'll be back.
Listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most of our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Freedom Fiends. So there's a saying, if you meet the Buddha in the road, kill him. And that doesn't literally mean kill anybody who looks like Buddha and has a belly and, you know, anything like that. It means, you know, the Buddha is within you. So if you meet someone on the road saying he's the Buddha, he's a false idol. There are a couple sayings that go along with that that I grew up on. One is from punk rock. Kill your idols, K-I-L-L-Y-R-I-D-O-L-S. And that doesn't literally mean kill your idols. It means kill the idea of having idols. That was the name of a record by Sonic Youth. And it was the name of a documentary about that scene. There's another thing. There was a record label called Kill Rock Stars. And and it was connected with the Olympia, Washington riot girl movement. And it was there was K Records, which was connected with that. And Kurt Cobain had a jailhouse looking homemade tattoo of the K Records logo, which was a K in a shield. And, you know, maybe that's why he killed himself. He got so big that he became an idol and he had to kill his idols, or he had to kill the idol. Who knows? But I came up in this punk rock thing, which was really based on the idea of there shouldn't be rock stars. You know, in punk rock, you don't want one band that a million people listen to. You know, you want 1,000 bands that 10 people listen to, or 100 bands that 1,000 people listen to, instead of, you know, one band that 100,000 people listen to, or something like that. Do the maths yourself. But it's better to have a bunch of little, you know, little popular on a smaller level, people doing something cool, than to try to have one person that everybody bows down to. What say you, gentlemen, outside of the, I know you guys didn't grow up in the punk rock movement, but, you know, in other realms, where do you see that?
I want to make an example of somebody who actually did this, a couple of guys who actually did this. I know them well. They're good guys. And that's the guys that set up Cop Block. They set Cop Block up in a way that it does not glorify the two founders of Cop Block.
Yeah, it's a decentralized organization. And it's interesting, too, because not a lot of people know this. Cop Block is based on a book by Boston Tea Party called You and the Police. Everything that Cop Block does is laid out in that book. And I've seen interviews with the founders of Cop Block where they have their bookshelf behind them, and that book is on the bookshelf. It's really easy to spot because it's a yellow book with blue text on the side of it. And, you know, I'm not saying they ripped it off or anything. I'm just saying, like, credit where credit's due. And, you know, in Liberty, like, and a lot of people don't even know who Boston Tea Party is. And I'm not saying, you know, he should be the guy everyone should worship. Nobody should be worshipped. But Boston Tea Party, also known as Kenneth Royce, has a lot of stuff, a lot of good books out there that people should go check out if they haven't.
And one thing about Boston, too, and again, I've met Boston and spoke with him for a couple of hours, and I can say that he is a brilliant man, and he is a man's man, but he is not going to ever tolerate himself being put up on a pedestal. And that's really why a lot of newly minted libertarians have never heard of Boston Tea Party, because he's not out there making sure that his name is in front of everything and making sure he's, you know, selling his soul practically just to get on TV or to get his face known or to get his name known. As a matter of fact, for years he went under Boston Tea Party rather than use his own name.
Yeah, and he's also, you know, a man's man in the sense of, like, you know, he can actually shoot a rifle at 700 yards and hit his target. He is really big on gun safety. He's one of the people that taught me about gun safety and, you know, his books. And I've actually taken some, you know, gun safety class from him, or a gun technique class that started with gun safety, you know, kind of in the same way that, like, professional football teams, they start the game with a prayer. Or they used to. I don't know if they still do. And there's a lot of people that start an event or a meeting with a prayer. I think any event of gun shooting should start with a recitation and demonstration of the four rules of gun safety. You know, because there's going to be somebody there that doesn't know them as well as you do. And Boston's gun training, you know, it was for you know, rifle. It was basically for, like, counter attack assault rifling, like, you know, when you are being attacked by people with rifles, how to self defend yourself against rifles with a rifle. And the class started with the four rules of gun safety, man. And he's also, you know, when a lot of libertarians are, like, doing anything they can to get a couple more clicks on their website, even if it's something that most people would think is making everybody look bad, you know, when they're, like, doing, they're that desperate to get beer money from their website click-throughs. Boston Tea Party, like, you know, owns a private plane. He's not out there begging on the, he's not on the internet, man. I mean, he has the Free State Wyoming Forum, but that's kind of a members only thing too. And there's no ads on it. Yeah, he's one of the people that, if you want to look up to somebody, look up to him. But don't look up to anybody, man. Look up to yourself and to good ideas.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Hey, this is Squisgar Squig Elves from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed,
buy sheep for sheep on sheep,
and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
This is the Freedom Fiends, the decentralized radio show, and we are a decentralized radio show, and by that I mean this is not a show where one person is the star and you call him in and he tells you how to run your life. It's not the show where one person talks and doesn't take calls and tells you how to run your life and acts like a god and it goes to his head. This is a show where myself and 14 other co-hosts don't take calls and we don't tell you how to run your life. And it's a decentralized show in that a lot of people keep their, like, how they do their show a trade secret. I actually make videos on how we do the show, how we get the good audio quality, even though we're not in the same room and we do it live. And decentralization is a great thing because when you have one point of failure, you can take that person out. And a lot of times they take themselves out by just, it goes to their head and they become ridiculous and think they are a god and think they have all the answers. But this is a decentralized show where I could get a bullet to my brain and this show would still go on. And 15 other shows could come out of it that would be as good. So I'm trying to teach the next generation of liberty people, and we do it by decentralizing it. So Randy wanted to do a feisty libertarian rant about decentralization. Go, Randy, go.
First of all, we do have permission that if something were to happen to you tomorrow, that,
yes,
that we could still call the show Freedom Fiends.
Yes. And it would be up to you to keep it good enough to be worthy of that name. But yeah, it's I'm on record. I'll say it again. I've told the people at GCN, something happens to me, I want this show to go on.
Well, this is really important, and it ties right into what you were talking about earlier, you know, not having the great leaders.
And I want this show to go on, but I would prefer that this show went on and turned into 15 other shows.
You'd probably prefer that it would go on with you in it too.
Yeah, I'd prefer to not take
considering the examples.
Yeah.
You know, this, I think, you know, started and worked out very well. You look at Free Talk Live back when in the earlier days they didn't have very many co-hosts. It was always just Mark and Ian, and then the liberty activism. And one of the greatest things about liberty activism, not a great thing, let's call it the silver lining to the black cloud of a guy like Ian having to go spend time in jail, they had to decentralize. If he was the centerpiece of the show and the guy who held it all together, and he really was, and not to take away from Mark Edge, but he went and had to go into jail, and they set that up and didn't miss a beat.
Yeah, but Mark panicked. Like, you know, he did really well, but he was not happy during that time. And that is part of the reason that I'm trying to train you guys to all lead a show so you won't have to panic if that happens. You learn from them.
But their example was out there, and the fact that they survived it is the great part, and showed not only was it important, it could be done. And now they have probably have more co-hosts than they used to have, don't they? Yeah, you know how many they have?
They don't have as many as we do. They have...
Well, nobody has as many as we do.
They have the two main hosts. I think they have four or five alternate hosts.
Yeah. So, but they could go on. You definitely could go on. You have so many people. And I think that's really, really healthy. One thing I do enjoy about the Liberty Movement is that we do have a lot of, you know, what do you call them, rock stars, but we really have a lot of them. And it's a real dynamic interplay. And even though you say, well, we're wary of these top guys, the fact that there's a lot of them, I think, is good. I mean, the more the thing is decentralized, the better. The whole thing, it's got to be decentralized. Eventually, we ever get where we're going, we're going to be so decentralized, nobody from over here could even tell anybody, you know, 5 miles away what they're going to do. And the whole, you know, the leader will be the influential guy in your neighborhood who always had the good ideas and people just listened to him voluntarily. And that decentralization has to happen at every level, including media like this.
Yep.
You know, Michael, also, you were talking earlier about that old saying that if you see the Buddha on the road, kill him. And I was thinking about that in the context of the musical band Pink Floyd, because they had almost a Buddha leading them. It was Sid Barrett. And the guy was a genius, you know, but he was also, he had some flaws. Yeah. And they got to the point of where they realized that they had met the Buddha. But they didn't, you know, they didn't actually want to kill the guy because he's lovable. They literally loved him. He was their friend. He was a great guy. So what they would do is they just stopped telling him when they were practicing, and they would lock the studio and change the locks so that he couldn't get in.
That's passive-aggressive, man. They should have just fired him.
Yeah, they should have. But I'm not sure he could have understood it at the time because he was really in the middle of a breakdown. And they went on without him. And sometimes it's really hard to let go of somebody like that who is in charge of something. But Michael, I'm here to tell you, if you lose your mind, we're going on without you. We're going to slip in, steal your equipment, and we'll let you think you're on the air. Or we'll do with, like some bands have done, where one female vocal in the band was really, really bad, but didn't know it. They just turned her mic all the way down.
You're
and
talking
let
about
her
Linda McCartney in Wings. Yeah, they put her through the monitor, but...
But not, we won't do to you what the Stones may or may not have done to their, I can't remember his name.
Yeah, Brian Jones. Let's not go there because that's a conspiracy theory. But you wouldn't have to steal my equipment. And I kind of resent the statement. I would gladly give my equipment to all you guys. And actually, I've told my wife that if something happens to me, the equipment is supposed to go to certain people in the Fiends, including the Comrex, to keep the show going. Don't kill me to get my equipment. It's not enough equipment to be worth that. But yeah.
If Michael shows up swimming floating in a swimming pool, we'll know something has happened wrong.
Yeah. Actually, it's in my will that it's willed to Nima Vidati. But since he's not doing the show anymore, I'm going to add a codicil to my will right now in audio form. I am not under duress. I am in my right mind. The equipment shouldn't go to Nima Vidati because he's not going to do the Fiends with it. It should go to Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker, and he will distribute it as needed to the other Fiend fan friend, Fiend co-hosts. And
unless I've turned Sid Barrett in and I'm wandering around England in my shorts.
So speaking of England, Randy England, is codicil the word?
Codicil is the word. I don't know if that audio
is binding.
Well, in Wyoming, I'm not sure what it is, but in Missouri, it would not be.
Well, then here's how we deal with that. It would still be willed to Nima Vidati, and Nima Vidati would do the right thing and give it to the show if you guys played this for him. And if he didn't, he should be drummed out of Liberty.
Would you haunt him if he didn't? Say yes.
Yes. If haunting is possible. Although I don't really want to like put him in a position on the air of signing a social contract without consent to be haunted by my ghost. I just think Nima would do the right thing. And I'm not gonna go bother to change my will right now, but I think some of my guns are going to Nima too, though. He could still have those.
Well, that's nice of him.
Yeah.
He's a good guy.
Yeah, so that was all really weird. I didn't expect to be doing that when I woke up this morning.
Yeah. You mean changing your will on the air?
That part I was fine with. The part that was weird was threatening to, you know, being poked into a corner into a ghost I'm not sure if I believe in haunting a friend of mine.
Well, if you could change that, I would haunt him if I can.
I've used that threat with my family, though. I've told them things like, you know, if you waste a bunch of money on an elaborate funeral for me, I will pass through heaven and earth to get back here and haunt you forever because I don't want a bunch of money wasted on me like that. Yeah, and I've said things either. Like, if I die on the highway and you people come out there and put like crosses on the highway and put flowers and make some kind of a thing like that, I will hunt you down in the afterlife and I will haunt you forever.
Actually, DJ and I have taken care of that in writing without threats. First of all, like, I'm not close enough to any of my family. I don't know. They would probably want to have some event, but I have put in my will and DJ has put in her will, and we both feel really strongly about this to the point that we put it in the addendum on our will. We both want to be cremated, and we both want, you know, my ashes go to her, her ashes go to me. If we both die together, you know, they go to somebody else. I'm not going to name the details of our will anymore than I have already today, except with the music stuff, but the audio equipment. But it says in our will that we do not want a funeral or any, you know, celebration after we're dead. Now, that doesn't legally prevent someone from doing it, but it shows you're doing this against our wishes. And, you know, people always do that kind of stuff of, oh, it's what they would have wanted. We state in our will, it is against our wishes to have some kind of, you know, remembrance thing where people have to fly in.
You know, I don't think you'll be able to stop all of the celebrations upon your death, Michael. I'm thinking of certain individuals will not name again in this.
Who will want to dance on our grave. Yeah, well, and the other thing is, like, neither DJ or I would tell where our ashes are spread. So there's no grave to go dance on. But, yeah, there's people that'd be happy if I died. Basically, people that I have pointed out that they are ridiculous. And people don't like that. People like to be ridiculous, but don't like it when you point out that they're ridiculous. So I plan to bury you all, man. My dad is 93, and, you know, I have his genes, so I think I could live to that long.
Well, you'll probably bury me, but you won't bury the Hazy Yak.
Yeah, I probably won't. He's 16, man, and lives a good, healthy farm food life. Yeah, I don't really want to bury anybody. I also, here's another thing. I am never attending a funeral in my life. It's a waste of time and money and resources. And anybody who says you're not honoring them. No, it's about the living. Funerals are about the living. And I don't have a need to participate in any of them.
Well, I meant see me go.
I'm going to dig a hole in the ground and throw you in it. No, man.
I meant that in the Nikita Khrushchev way.
Yep.
And, that wasn't little, me, by the way.
That was me.
Little visual effect there.
I'm eating peanuts. They keep my mind sharp. So you got a conclusion here, Ben Stone, quick, before we go to the break, before the last segment?
Oh, man, I don't know. I'm at loss at for words.
Kill your idols by killing the need to be idolizing somebody.
That's where we were. Yeah, so if you see the Buddha and he's like in a lotus position under a rock
with
all his followers around him all.
Yeah.
Just, yeah, laugh at him. Don't kill him.
Just laugh at him. All right. Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space. Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast,
even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
In the third act, kill your libertarian idols, not with a gun, but with your mind. And Counselor Randy England is gonna talk a little bit about that.
Oh, to me, well, yeah, I was thinking about the if you meet the Buddha in the road, kill him. And that was, of course, the title of a book back in the 70s. It had a lot of self-help advice in that, but it came from an old, Buddhist, is it koan? Is that how you pronounce that word?
Koan or Conan, Koan, yeah.
I'm really setting myself for all kinds of mispronunciations because some fellow that lived about 1,100 years ago, he said, if you meet the Buddha, kill him. And it was a guy, and here's where I'm probably going to pronounce something wrong again, Lin Ji.
Well, how well could Lin Ji pronounce some of the Catholic words too? So,
well, I don't know. You mean like transubstantiation or something like that?
That's a weird word and a weird concept. But let's not go there. I'm not a cannibal, so let's go there.
That's another show. Okay. Yeah. Well, anyway, I took a look at that and the meaning, the Buddhist meaning of it. If I understand Buddhism, and I'm not a Buddhist, of course, is the idea of realizing, that everything is one, and that you are the Buddha in a sense, and what it means, that statement means that you have to destroy the idea of the Buddha as being separate from yourself,
yeah,
and then you can become internally your own Buddha. Is that good Buddhist thought? I suppose it is. I've heard that before, but I think that's what that means.
And so if the Buddha, if you see the Buddha in the road, you should kill him rather than make a god out of him and worship him and make some kind of an idol out of him that he is not. It's better to kill him than deify him, right?
Well, maybe it's also saying that he's not really there. The fact that you see him as a separate entity from yourself is an illusion. Now, and these are, when we were talking a moment ago, about Christianity as opposed to Buddhism, these are utterly separate concepts. And a Christian would say, no, I'm not, everything isn't one and some things are separate from other things. But within obviously a Buddhist koan would be teaching Buddhist thought, I would hope.
Yeah.
And that's the word. I don't know. A lot of people apparently have used that through time. And like I said, I'd heard it before and not really understood it. I'm sure I don't really understood it even now. I could not for a moment explain the sound of one hand clapping, for example.
I think Bart Simpson took care of that on one of the Simpsons episodes where he actually takes his hand. I don't know if this will come through in the mic or not. And he does this with his hand. Did that come through at all?
Yeah, it's on the mic.
Something did.
Oh, one hand clapping. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He essentially just makes noise with one hand and says, no, Lisa, look, listen, here it is. One hand clapping.
It's waving.
I'm doing it. Yeah, there it is. There it is. And really, just comparing it back to libertarian thought, it's very, a lot of people associate libertarianism with Ayn Rand. And she did not associate libertarianism with herself. She was her own little universe with everybody else revolving around her. And she didn't like to be called libertarian. And she was technically, although there's a lot of overlapping theory and a lot of overlapping feelings there, she technically was not a libertarian. And so when we see these, these great men, these great idols lifting themselves up, That's what we have to reject, whether that's in government or whether that's, you know, in other settings. And somebody might say, well, these are voluntary leaders, though, and there's nothing wrong with voluntary leaders. Yeah, there can be. Jim Jones was a voluntary leader. You know, Charles Manson was a voluntary leader. You have to keep your mind. You can't let your mind get swept away with these things.
Yeah.
You know, it's a big, long road out there. And if you don't keep your mind in control, you'll let your feet get you lost.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. It's been a good show.
Hey.
It's been a great show.
Worms.
Hey, Worms. Randy England and Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker.
Worms.
From Bad Quaker.
Michael Dean.
From badquaker.com and randyengland.com. Right? .com? Yeah.
That's one of them.
Yep. All right. We'll be back tomorrow with a feisty show on the Freedom Fiends. This live edition of Free Talk Live with Mark,
Danica,
and Johnson.
And Free Talk Live is about your calls. Let's go straight to Michael Dean, the NSA of the Liberty Movement. Michael, you there?
Oh, you say it like you're sighing when you say my name, Mark.
I just know there's nothing. I'm not going to get away with it. Whatever it is, I'm not going to get away with it because Michael Dean is always watching.
You didn't do anything. I'm agreeing with you that... Yeah, the video, the Colbert thing is kind of embarrassing, but I don't know. I don't think you should be personally embarrassed. It's not you, and liberty is not a collective movement. It's individuals. Nope. But here's the thing. I would recommend to anybody, when the mainstream media comes out and points a camera at you, run. They always find the equivalent of... Find the equivalent or edit the equivalent of, you know, covering the tornado and finding the fat, drunk redneck and the wife beater who's saying, praise Jesus, my toilet's still here, you know? And well, that was Chris Cantwell in this case. But you know what?
And Wait a second. So there was this New York Times article that came out. I can't remember. Maybe it's been a year. Maybe it's been 6 months. You know, timelines, they're not my thing. And it was disparaging as all get out to the Liberty Movement here in New Hampshire, saying that I can't quote any of it, but it wasn't good. It was a columnist that wrote it, and what we saw from it were signups, lots of signups to the Free State Project.
Yeah, well, the 600-pound gorilla in the movie with this in this Colbert Report piece that people aren't noticing, and it's bizarre to me that no one's noticing it. Cantwell muzzle sweeps himself, the camera, and downtown Keene.
I didn't notice it.
Yeah,
he muzzle. Yeah, he, what did he muzzle sweep himself with, a holstered weapon?
Yeah,
yeah, it was holstered.
But he's handling it and with a snub nose. First of all, basic rules of gun safety. There's four of them, and one of them is don't point a gun at anything you're not willing to destroy. That is non-negotiable. And anybody who says, you're just nitpicking, you're insane, because that is safe gun handling. It's one of the most important aspects of what you can do in liberty, or to if you're jumping in front of the camera like a deer in front of the headlights to be the face of liberty.
I agree it wasn't like he was cavalierly sweeping, you know, the cameraman and himself. He was putting his gun back on his belt, and it was a holstered weapon with the snap done.
Yeah,
he couldn't pull the trigger if he wanted to, even accidentally. You know, and the safety was also probably engaged because, again, There's no safety on a revolver.
You don't know anything about guns.
I don't know
enough. You shouldn't be talking about them.
That's not true. I don't know anything about guns. I don't know.
There's no safety on a revolver, man. Yeah. There's no safety on a snub-nosed revolver.
Right. Yeah. I won't say that I know a lot. I'm not going to say that, but it's unfair to say that I don't know anything. I've fired guns several times. I'll admit that I don't own one. I want to, but.
I want you to take a gun safety class if you're going to own one. And you know, here's the thing, like everybody says in liberty,
Well, we don't need the government to like determine who has a gun permit, you know, in Liberty, the people who are unsafe with guns would be, you know, snubbed by the community.
This is such a reaching critique, though. It really is. I agree with it. I agree with the gun safety point of that you should never sweep your weapon across people. I absolutely agree. However, it's so reaching to say this about a holstered weapon. Yes, you want to be careful with it. You don't want to squeeze people, but to be fair, it is a holstered weapon.
Hold on.
So you're arguing long and hard in favor of being able to sweep people with a holstered weapon.
No, that's not what he's saying.
No, not really.
What he's saying is he agrees. It's just that he thinks that it's a reach. Now, let me ask you this. Johnson, you agree with this statement. On a scale of 1 to 10, how bad was Cantwell's step across the line here?
Maybe like a 3.
A 3. And Michael W. Dean, how far do you think it is?
Gun safety, it's a 10, man.
Okay, so.
Well, it's a 9. 10 would have been shooting somebody.
All right. So on a scale of 1 to 10, you guys have to come between a 9 and a 3.
So what about the guy? What about the cop who's teaching a gun safety course who shoots himself in the foot? I mean, come on.
So Cantwell's acting like a cop. So basically you're saying, well, cops do it. It's okay in Liberty.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying, like, you're reaching.
Do you have
really, really hard?
Well, okay. I don't want to. Yes, no.
Right.
I'm not interested in that argument. Do you have any other critiques on it, Michael W. Dean?
Yeah. I mean, it's nothing new that they come out and point a camera at you. I mean, something my wife and I have in common that we didn't know about until we met was before we met each other, we were both at punk rock shows where local news showed up because punk rock was a new phenomena, pointed a camera at us. We both separately, you know, not even years away from meeting each other, gave really eloquent speeches about rebellion and anarchy and youth and dissatisfaction and do it yourself. And in both cases, the local news took, you know, we gave 5 or 10 minute interviews, and the local news always used the one clip where you do a brain fart and sound stupid.
Yeah,
of course.
They do it every time, man. So, you know, if you want to spread a movement, make your own media. Don't go try to jump onto the other media because the other media is not going to treat you well ever.
Yeah, I don't think that they were treated well here. I guess what remains to be seen. The reason I'm not going to get bent out of shape on this is because I have seen a year's worth of this stuff up to this point, and what I do see is that usually, yes, the signups increase when the bad news stories come out. I don't like them. And the difference is, if you boil it all down, and it's taken me years to figure this out, if you boil it all down, Ian's goal is to get more signers. That's his only goal. My goal is to live here with these people that you're making angry all the time.
So his goal is quantity over quality. Your goal is quality over quantity.
Oh, I don't know about quality. I really don't know the answer to that. I don't know how to get the good activists. I think that his goal of getting people to move and then the good ones stick around and the great ones get better.
Cantwell's leaving,
no.
Isn't he?
No.
Cantwell is not leaving New Hampshire.
Okay.
But he did manage to trick people into believing that.
Okay, yeah. Well, I saw the thing where he tricked people in it, and he's a good writer and he's a funny and he can, you know, he can do a decent paragraph and parody. That thing was funny. I bought it for about halfway through it, and then I was like, okay, this, but even before I got to the naked picture, but I thought it was based on something real. I thought he was leaving the house to go like solve mysteries in a van with one of the cop block guys.
Isn't it stopfreekeen.info or something?
Yeah.
Site? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So. I thought he was going on the road, like not paying, couldn't pay rent, and was going on the road with Pete Ayer.
No, that story. It's, I mean, I don't know. I don't want to get into details about this, but it's actually, I would say it's one of the more responsible and least aggressive thing. Like the reasons why Cantwell are doing this are so right, it's amazing. But, you know, I just, you know, it's details that are like, he's doing a very good thing by doing what he's doing, essentially.
By leaving town?
He's not leaving town, though, but by leaving this house. Yeah.
Okay. I don't know what that means.
Yes, and it does sound as though it's cryptic for a reason.
I trust you more than I trust your gun safety analysis.
I'm not my gun safety analysis. I'm just it's not the gun safety that I think is the. I mean, like, my problem is with the critique. I absolutely agree with you. Oh, you shouldn't put a holstered weapon on your. You shouldn't try to put a holstered weapon on your belt while you're in a seated position.
You know what, though?
That's ridiculous.
He does it repeatedly in the video where he shoots the American flag. He muzzle sweeps his thigh and his foot.
Right.
And that's a loaded gun that's, you know, warm for being fired. I mean, it's between him firing two shots.
I guess muzzle sweeping yourself isn't a violation of the aggression principle.
It's not. It's your own fault.
The rule of gun safety is don't ever point a gun at anything you're not willing to destroy. So I guess Cantwell is willing to destroy himself and downtown.
Certainly with alcohol on the pass.
And a cameraman from the Colbert Report.
All you have to do is take a look at his online stuff, and I'd say you come to that same conclusion. Michael W. Dean, thank you for the call. 855-450.
He certainly appeared to be destroying himself behind that V-mask.
3733.
Oh, my.
I cannot unsee that. 855-450-FREE. Free Talk Live.